World History, Chapter 19, Section 2, China Limits European Contacts. Setting the stage. The European voyages of exploration had led to opportunities for trade. Europeans made healthy profits from trade in the Indian Ocean region. They began looking for additional sources of wealth. Soon, European countries were seeking trade relations, ships, in East Asia, first with China and later with Japan. By the time the Portuguese ships dropped anchor off the Chinese coast in 1514, the Chinese had driven out their Mongol rulers and had united under a new dynasty. China under the powerful Ming Dynasty. China had become the dominant power in Asia under the Ming Dynasty, 1368 to 1644. In recognition for China's power, vassal states from Korea to Southeast Asia paid their Ming overlords regular tribute, which is a payment by one country to another to acknowledge its submission. China expected Europeans to do the same. Ming rulers were not going to allow outsiders from distant lands to threaten the peace and prosperity the Ming had brought to China when they ended Mongol rule. The rise of the Ming. A peasant's son, Huang Hu, commanded the rebel army that drove the Mongols out of China in 1368. That year, he became the first Ming emperor. Huang Hu continued to rule from the former Yuan capital of Nanjing in the south. He began reforms designed to restore agricultural lands devastated by war, erase all traces of the Mongol past, and promote China's power and prosperity. Huang Hu's agricultural reforms increased rice production and improved irrigation. He also encouraged fish farming and growing commercial crops such as cotton and sugarcane. Huang Hu used respected traditions and institutions to bring stability to China. For example, he encouraged a return to Confucian moral standards. He improved imperial administration by restoring the merit-based civil service examination system. Later in his rule, however, when problems developed, Huang Hu became a ruthless tyrant. Suspecting plots against his rule everywhere, he conducted purges of the government, killing thousands of officials. Huang Hu's death in 1398 led to a power struggle. His son, Yang Luo, emerged victorious. Yang Luo continued many of his father's policies, although he moved the royal court to Beijing. See the Forbidden Cities feature on page 538. Yang Luo also had a far-ranging curiosity about the world. In 1405, before Europeans began to sail beyond their borders, he launched the first of seven voyages of exploration. He hoped they would impress the world with the power and splendor of Ming China. He also wanted to expand China's tribute system. The Voyages of Zin He. A Chinese Muslim admiral named Zin He led all of the seven voyages. His expeditions were remarkable for their size. Everything about them was large. Distances traveled, fleet size, and ship measurements. The voyages ranged from Southeast Asia to Eastern Africa. From 40 to 300 ships sailed in each expedition. Among them were fighting ships, storage vessels, and huge treasure ships measuring more than 400 feet long. The fleet's crews numbered over 27,000 on some voyages. They included sailors, soldiers, carpenters, interpreters, accountants, doctors, and religious leaders. Like a huge floating city, the fleet sailed from port to port along the Indian Ocean. Everywhere Zin He went, he distributed gifts, including silver and silk, to show Chinese superiority. As a result, more than 16 countries sent tribute to the Ming court. Even so, Chinese scholar officials complained that the voyages wasted valuable resources that could be used to defend against barbarians' attacks on the northern frontier. After the seventh voyage in 1433, China withdrew into isolation. Ming relations with foreign countries. China's official trade policy in the 1500s reflected its isolation. To keep the influence of outsiders to a minimum, only the government was to conduct foreign trade, and only through three coastal ports, Canton, Macau, and Ningbo. In reality, trade flourished up and down the coast. Profit-minded merchants smuggled cargoes of silk, porcelain, and other valuable goods out of the country into the eager hands of European merchants. Usually, Europeans paid for purchases with silver, much of it from mines in the Americas. Demand for Chinese goods had a ripple effect on the economy. Industries such as silkmaking and cosmetics grew rapidly. Manufacturing and commerce increased, but China did not become highly industrialized for two main reasons. First, the idea of commerce offended Chinese Confucian beliefs. Merchants, it was said, made their money supporting foreigners and robbery. Second, Chinese economic policies traditionally favored agriculture. Taxes on agriculture stayed low. Taxes on manufacturing and trade skyrocketed. Christian missionaries accompanied European traders to China. They brought Christianity and knowledge of European science and technology, such as the clock. The first missionary to have an impact was an Italian Jesuit named Matteo Ricci. He gained special favor at the Ming court through his intelligence and fluency in Chinese. Still, many educated Chinese opposed European and Christian presence. Manchus found the Qing dynasty. By 1600, the Ming had ruled for more than 200 years, and the dynasty was weakening. Its problems grew: ineffective rulers, corrupt officials, and a government that was out of money. Higher taxes and bad harvests pushed millions of peasants toward starvation. Civil strife and rebellion followed. Northeast of the Great Wall lay Manchuria. In 1644, the Manchus, the people of that region, invaded China, and the Ming dynasty collapsed. The Manchus seized Beijing, and their leaders became China's new emperor. As the Mongols had done in the 1300s, the Manchus took a Chinese name for their dynasty, the Qing dynasty. They would rule for more than 260 years and expand China's borders to include Taiwan, Chinese Central Asia, Mongolia, and Tibet. China under the Qing. Many Chinese resisted rule by the non-Chinese Manchus. Rebellions flared up periodically for decades. The Manchus, however, slowly earned the people's respect. They upheld China's traditional Confucian beliefs and social structures. They made the country's frontiers safe and restored China's prosperity. Two powerful Manchu rulers contributed greatly to the acceptance of the new dynasty. The first, Kangxi, became emperor in 1661 and ruled for some 60 years. He reduced government expenses and lowered taxes. A scholar and patron of the art, Kangxi gained the support of intellectuals by offering them government positions. He also enjoyed the company of Jesuits at the court. They told him about developments in science, medicine, and mathematics in Europe. Under his grandson, Cheng Lung, who ruled from 1736 to 1795, China reached its greatest size and prosperity. An industrious emperor like his grandfather, Cheng Lung, often rose at dawn and to work on the empire's problems. He included armed nomads on its borders and the expanding presence of European missionaries and merchants in China. Manchus continued Chinese isolation. To the Chinese, their country, called the Middle Kingdom, had been the cultural center of the universe for 2,000 years. If foreign states wished to trade with China, they would have to follow Chinese rules. These rules included trading only at special ports and paying tribute. The Dutch were masters in the Indian Ocean trade by the time Cheng Lung. They accepted China's restrictions. Their diplomats paid tribute to the emperor through gifts and by performing the required kowtow ritual. This ritual involved kneeling in front of the emperor and touching one's head to the ground 9 times. As a result, the Chinese accepted the Dutch as trading partners. The Dutch returned home with traditional porcelains and silks, as well as a new trade item, tea. By 1800, tea would make up 80% of shipments to Europe. Great Britain also wanted to increase trade with China, but the British did not like China's trade restrictions. In 1793, Lord George Macartney delivered a letter from King George III to Qianlong. It asked for a better trade arrangement, including Chinese acceptance of British manufactured goods. Macartney refused to kowtow, and Qianlong denied Britain's request. As the emperor made clear in a letter to the king, China was self-sufficient and did not need the British. "There is nothing we lack, as your primary envoy and others have themselves observed. We have never set much store on strange or ingenious objects. Nor do we need any more of your country's manufacturers." Qianlong, from a letter to King George III of Great Britain. In the 1800s, the British, Dutch, and others would attempt to chip away at China's trade restrictions until the empire itself began to crack, as Chapter 28 will describe. Korea under the Manchus. In 1636, even before they came to power in China, the Manchus conquered nearby Korea and made it a vassal state. As a member of the Chinese tribute system, Korea had long existed as China's shadows. Koreans organized their government according to Confucian principles. They also adopted China's technology, its culture, and especially its policy of isolation. When the Manchus established the Qing dynasty, Korea's political relationships with China did not change. But Korea's attitude did. The Manchu invasion, combined with the Japanese attack in the 1590s, provoked strong feelings of nationalism in Korean people. This sentiment was most evident in their art. Instead of traditional Chinese subjects, many artists chose to show popular Korean scenes. Life in the Ming and Qing China. In the 16 and 1700s, there was general peace and prosperity in China. Life improved for most Chinese. Family and the role of women. Most Chinese families had farmed the land the same way their ancestors had. However, during the Qing dynasty, irrigation and fertilizer increased. Farmers grew rice and new crops such as corn and sweet potatoes brought by Europeans from the Americas. As food production increased, nutrition improved, and families expanded, a population explosion followed. These expanded Chinese families favored sons over daughters. Only a son was allowed to perform vital religious rituals. A son would also raise his own family under his parents' roof, assuring aging parents of help with the farming. As a result, females were not valued, and many female infants were killed. Although men dominated the household and their wives, women had significant responsibilities. Besides working in the fields, they supervised the children's education and managed the family's finances. While most women were forced to remain secluded in their homes, some found outside jobs, such as working as midwives or textile workers. Cultural developments. The culture of early modern China was based mainly on traditional forms. The great masterpiece of Chinese fiction was written during this time. Dream of the Red Chamber by Cao Zhan examines upper-class Manchu society in the 1700s. Most artists of the time painted in traditional styles, which valued technique over creativity. In pottery, technical skills, as well as experimentation, led to the production of high-quality chromatics, including porcelain. Drama was a popular entertainment, especially in rural China, where literacy rates were low. Plays that presented Chinese history and cultural heroes entertained that and also helped unify Chinese society by creating a national culture. While China preserved its traditions in isolation, another civilization that developed in seclusion, the Japanese, was in conflict, as you will read in Section 3.